Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Let's talk about Jesus. What do you think? Amen. Praise God. Yeah, God is good. Amen. Hallelujah. God has been doing some wonderful things. I'm caught up in the flow of things. You know, God has been talking to me about flow. It's all about flow. Everything, Henry, if you understand what I'm trying to do, you're going to find out it's flow. And, last week we were talking a little bit about Abraham. I mean, not Abraham, but, I'm sorry, I didn't even talk last week, did I, Pastor John Horner? The week before I was talking about David being in the field of, in the valley of Ziph. You guys remember that? Ziph is the word. And the word, that word means flowing. Holly, thank you, Pastor John. that word means flowing. And, God's favor towards you is flowing. It is moving towards you. And a lot of times we seem to expect the things of God on the outside, but they don't come on the outside. They actually come from within you. The kingdom of God is within you. So everything that God generates for you is coming from inside of you. And so it's important that you listen, that you hear, that you understand what God is saying to you so that you can make the right choices, make those things that the decisions that need to be made, just like Austin this morning. So, that wilderness of Ziph is that flowing part is headed towards you. I know that God is speaking to the body of Christ today. We pay attention to what He's saying. Is that right? How many of you know paying attention with God takes some quietness in your life? Is that right? Is that right? Do you know that? Do you know that sometimes you just got to get yourself quiet? Because God talks in a very quiet way. Is that right? How many know that? A still small voice is what the Word of God says. David said, your gentleness has made me great. Isn't that cool? What do you mean your gentleness? When you still yourself, you'll be able to begin to hear what God might be saying to you. And it's a wonderful thing. It really is. God is speaking all the time. He's speaking to you more than you realize, the more that you know. Is that right? Is that okay if I tell you that? Because He does. He loves you. And He will talk to you. He'll warn you. Don't do that. How many ever gotten a warning like that? He'll say, don't say that. How many of you gotten a warning like that? He'll even say, hey, I'm glad you said that. You'll feel good about what you said. And a lot of times that is the Holy Spirit talking to you. Good job. That's what I'm talking about. And yet we think it's us within us talking to ourselves and everything. But actually, it is the Holy Spirit that is trying to lead and guide and help you in the decisions that God has for you. How many of you know that our paths for being in this house, our paths have crossed, and now here we are sitting here. But God has got so much for us. I mean, you might be here this week and might be in Kentucky next week. Is that okay? Because God says, hey, this is what I have for you. Yeah. Or Maine. Or Mexico. Or Venezuela. Wherever. But God is in control of our lives. How many of you say amen? I mean, how many of you really mean that? Amen. Come on, man. Well, okay, only in certain things He's in control. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Today's message is called the Crimson Flow. Do you guys know what I'm talking about when we're talking about the Crimson Flow? It's the blood of Jesus. How many know the blood of Jesus is important? Ooh, come on. How many know the blood of Jesus is not just a covering over you? It's something so much more. Jesus paid a price for you. And that blood that He spilt, that he paid for your salvation, hallelujah, it's still working today. How many know that? It's still in your life today. And so, glory to God. These guys should be out any minute. I'm running out of things to say. Hey, a preacher never runs out of things to say. How many know that? Praise God, man. Hallelujah. And I do want to say to you this morning, hey, if you feel the Holy Spirit tugging on your heart to get in this thing, it happens. Can I tell you? Sometimes it happens. It really does. The Holy Spirit might say, today's the day. If you feel that, you sense it, don't push it off. Say, we'll get you dry somehow. Hallelujah. But it's important that you listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying. When Rosie was talking this morning, how many of you know that this church, we don't try to force you to do anything. Can I tell you that? I don't want to force anybody to do anything. It really rubs against me. And I don't like forcing things. And how many of you know we're not in force? We ought to be in what I call? Yeah, that's the word. You guys are going to get it by June or something. You got to understand that, hey, we're talking about flow here. And just like this morning when we did the ministry minute, we're asking folks not, can I tell you, I think God is there's something that we need to be careful with, because a lot of folks will say, well, I saw an opening, so I went for it. You know, not being led by the Spirit. Can I tell you that? Sometimes we might be occupying a place that God is trying to get someone to walk into and step into. So that's why it's so important to pray. Not that because, well, I saw a need and nobody else is going to do it, so I guess I'll do it. No, that's not what we're talking about. We are talking about being led by the Spirit. God will talk to you, but you got to let him talk to you. Is that right? And I thank God for people that will volunteer, and I say, hey, man, I thank God for that. But possibly, do you hear what I'm saying to you? Possibly somebody God could be prepping somebody to go into that spot, and you know, well, and you take that spot, and it's something that maybe God's not asking you to do. Can I tell you, sometimes we get frustrated and tired of some of the stuff we're doing around the church because of the fact maybe God hasn't called you to do it. Is that all right? Glory to God. Hallelujah. John chapter 18, verses 28 through 40. Glory to God. It's a little different this morning, I understand, but let's get into the Word of God. How many love God's Word? Oh, man, I can't live without it. How many can't live without it? Hallelujah. I can't live without the Word of God. So let's pray, Father. We thank you, Father. We thank you for all that you're doing, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the work you've been doing in our hearts, the word that you've been speaking to each and every one of us individually, Lord. We thank you for it, Lord. Lord, to you belong the glory and all the honor and all the praise, Lord. We can do nothing without you, Lord. We can do nothing without you, Father. So, Lord, as we come to your word, as we bring your word this morning, Father, I'm asking you, Father, that you would anoint my lips. Speak what you would have to speak to your people this morning, Father God. Let the flow of the kingdom, Father God, be unleashed. Let that water flood rise up, Father God, from within us, Lord. And speak to our hearts, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. If you agree, say amen. 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 Hallelujah. John chapter 18, starting at verse 28. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas into the hall of judgment. And it was early, and they themselves went not in the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Talking about the Pharisees and the Jews. And they didn't want to be defiled, even though they had just had a kangaroo court with Jesus, accused them of things that they could not prove. And finally, when they asked Jesus who he really was, he said, are you the Son of God? I adjure you by the God of heaven. Are you the Christ? Jesus said, I am. And they said, blasphemy. And that's when so they didn't want to go into the hall. Hallelujah. Pilate then went out unto them and said, what accusation bring you against this man? And they answered and said unto him, if we were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up to you. Then said Pilate to them, take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, it is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled when he spoke, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered in the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, are you the King of the Jews? Jesus answered him, saying, sayest thou this of yourself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thou No nation and chief priests have delivered you unto me. What have you done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. Amen? Where's his kingdom, folks? Yeah, it's within you. How many of you are citizens of the kingdom of God? How many of you know that? Hallelujah. You are, each and every one of you, believe in Jesus. If you've asked Jesus into your life, you are a citizen of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. You've passed from death unto life. Isn't that good? Oh, come on, man. Somebody's got to get happy in here. Somebody's got to smile. Come on, man. Yeah, you are citizens. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from here. Pilate therefore said unto him, oh, thou art a king then. And Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king? To this end I was born. And for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness to what? To what? Everybody say it. The truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. Pilate said unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said unto them, I find in him no fault at all. Notice what he said. What did he say about Jesus? I find in him no fault at all. Praise God. Do you know in the Old Testament in the law when they were sacrificing bulls and goats and all that, the priest had to make sure that they didn't want a broken leg on a lamb or a cow that had a deficiency. So they would open the animal up and look and inspect the animal to see if it was good for the sacrifice. Here. And they would declare that animal clean. Yeah, this animal can be used for sacrifice. Here is Pilate doing that, saying, I don't find anything in this guy. There's no cause. Hallelujah. Verse 39, he said, but you have a custom that I should release unto you one at Passover. Will you therefore I release unto you the king of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. Chapter 19, Bible says, and then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. Scourged him. Whipped him. Flogged him, if you will. Folks, the Bible says that by his stripes you've been healed. When that Jesus went to that whipping post, every stripe that hit his back opened his back and he began to bleed. The flow began to happen. Is that okay? Isn't that something? The crimson flow began to move. Every time his heart beat, something would flow. Another flow, another little piece, another blood vessel damaged and flowing. Man. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him with their hands. And Pilate therefore went forth again and said to them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that you may know once again that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and a purple robe. And Pilate said unto them, Behold the man! And when the chief priests, therefore, and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him! Crucify him! Pilate said unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The word of God says, By two or three witnesses shall anything be established. This is the third time that Pilate said, I don't see anything wrong. You crucify him. The Jews answered, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God. And Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was more afraid. I would be too. Uh-oh. And he went again to the judgment hall and said to Jesus, Whence art thou? And asking, in other words, from where are you? Where are you from? But Jesus gave him no answer. And Pilate said unto him, Speakest thou not unto me, knowing not Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify you and have power to release you? Jesus answered, you could have no power at all against me, except it were given you from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee has a greater sin. Man, what words. What words Jesus never once said, hey, I didn't do it. All he said, I am the King. I am the Son of God. That's all he said. He couldn't speak anything but truth because he was truth. And from thenceforth, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, if you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend. Whosoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar. And when Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in judgment seat in the place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, he said unto the Jews, behold your king. And they cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. And Pilate said unto them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. Wow. Then delivered he him, therefore, unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him on the either side, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate said, what I've written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, and to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. And they said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it or tear it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be. And the scripture might be fulfilled, which says, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. Hallelujah. We're going to stop there. Man, like I said, the message this morning is the crimson flow. When Jesus went to the cross, all the way from where they stuck the crown of thorns in his brow, how many of you know that your head will bleed like crazy? Sometimes I come out of the bathroom with all these little pieces of Kleenex stuck to me because it just can't get them to stop. You will bleed. But every drop of blood was for us. Does that mean you know that? And sometimes we forget a little bit. But lest we forget, I felt like the Lord was saying, speak to them about the flow of my blood and what my blood does for them. The blood of Jesus is not just a covering for you. It's not just a covering for you. Say, well, Jesus has covered what I'm doing, and I'm good because I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in the blood of Christ. But it gives me. But down inside, you speak against your brother, against your sister. You don't love people. You don't. Maybe you have a sticky hand problem. Anybody ever had a sticky hand problem? Do you know what I mean by sticky hands? You guys know what I mean by sticky hands, right? Kind of. By the way, you can have the pins that are in the church. Oh, boy. The blood of Jesus is more than a covering. It is actively at work in your life. Do you know that? And I know the Lord just wants me to bring that out to you this morning, just so that you see that the blood of Jesus is so powerful to us. The most powerful substance in this earth today is the blood of Jesus. The life is in what? The blood. The Word of God has told us that. The life is in the blood. The life is in the blood. Luke chapter 22, verses 19 through 20. It's a very familiar verse, but says that he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." We call this the communion. We call this the Last Supper, when Jesus, in front of his disciples, actually took bread and broke it in front of them. And these words come out of his mouth, said, "This is my body that is broken for you." And he's saying it to the world. He said, "My body's been broken for you." And then he says, "Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This is the cup of the New Testament in my blood, which is what? Shed for you." The blood of Jesus. The world can say what they say because they don't know. But the most important message that we have is this, that Jesus died for you. He shed his body was broken, and he shed his blood for you, sir, ma'am, young man, young lady. The greatest message the world has ever heard. It will be our song, folks. Do you know that? In the ages to come, it will be our song. Oh, thank God for Jesus, for the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 through 23. Oh, Lord. Have your way, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, my goodness. When I think about the blood of Christ, man, he's paid it all, folks. He's done everything for us. Do you know the Word of God says this, that he's given you every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus? Do you know that? That's in Ephesians. Every spiritual blessing, he's already given it to you. It's already yours. And then he says in Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says this. He goes, "I have given you all things that pertain to what?
Life and godliness.
I've given you everything. He's already given it to you. It's already yours. It already belongs to you. He sees it as a done deal. When he was on the cross and gave up, right before he gave up his spirit, he said, "It's finished. It's done. It's theirs now. I have redeemed mankind." Hallelujah. I love this. Greatest message to mankind is that you are loved by a God that gave his son for you. Greatest message. Never pass it up. Don't pass it up. It says here, Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, it says, "Giving thanks to the Father, which has made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." God has already made you fit to be that by the death of his son, who has delivered us from the power of darkness. Do you see that? Do you read that? What does that mean? It means he has delivered you from the power of darkness. Well, it could mean, no, it means that he has already delivered you from the power of darkness. You see, the blood of Jesus is so much more to us. Do you hear me? Some folks are afraid, "Oh, the devil's going to get me." He can't. I've been taught in a church that if you do something good, maybe the devil might come after you. Can I just say this to you? The war is already done. Jesus fought that battle. It doesn't have to be fought again. Hallelujah. Our fight is not with, can I say, a defeated foe? That's not our fight. Our fight is to believe the things that God has said to us. It's called a good fight of faith. That's the fight, God. That's the faith. That's the, stop it. That's the fight God has told us to fight. Listen, what I've told you in my word, you hold on to it, you take a hold of it, and don't let it go, because Jesus is the author of truth. Truth is powerful. It's passionate. Isn't that right, Terry? It's without moderation. It's not like your car. You can step on the gas and go faster and go slower. Truth isn't like that way. Truth is either all true or it's not true at all. And truth does not display man's position, doesn't display who man is. It displays only the nature of God. That's what truth is, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Check it out. It says this, giving thanks to the Father, which has made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his Son. Do you know how he translates you? It's called revelation. That's what it is. It's called revelation. It's not something I can give to you. I could walk up to you, man, don't you see it? Don't you see it? Do you get it? And you might go, no, I don't get it at all, man. Because the Holy Spirit has to reveal these things to you. It's not in man to reveal it to you. Oh, we can preach. I can preach all day long till I'm blue in the face. Do you get it? Do you get it? And you say, I don't get it. It's because it's the Holy Spirit that brings truth into our heart and causes it to grow within us. Jesus told Peter, he says, when Jesus asked, who do men say that I am? I think the apostles were kind of, well, you know, hey, well, some say you're Elijah. Some say you're that prophet. Some say, but Jesus asked them, well, who do you say that I am? They said, and I think Peter stood up and he goes, you're the Son of God. You are the Son of the living God. Jesus looked at him and said, flesh and blood. This is a good lesson for us. Flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. But my Father, which is in heaven, revealed it to you. You see, it's not our job to make them understand. It's just our job to tell them. And when we tell them, the truth comes in and the truth begins to take a hold of their heart. Isn't that cool? That's the only way to do it. That way God gets all the glory and you don't. Is that right? Otherwise, I got all my little followers back here. Look at them. That's not what it's about. It's about who God is and what Christ has done. Hallelujah. Man, hallelujah. Better be taking notes on this. I'm going to tell you what. I sense the Holy Spirit speaking like crazy this morning. All I am is a mouthpiece. Is that right? Goofy looking mouthpiece. Come on. Hallelujah. See my wife shaking her head over there. Yeah. She goes, yeah, but she's going like this. Oh, come on, hallelujah. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness, translated into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have the redemption through his blood. What do we have? Redemption through his blood. Even the forgiveness of sins. I like to ask this question, what is redemption? Very quickly, I would just say what redemption is you've been redeemed back into what God intended man to be in the first place. When Adam made that mistake, he plunged the world into sin, but the Bible says that Jesus came and he died on a cross, washed those sins away, and he positioned man right back to where he needs to be with God. Open the door to the throne room of God. Open the door so that God can walk with you, talk with you, and show you things and talk to you about where he wants you to go, where he wants to lead you. Hallelujah. Redemption through his what? His blood. By the blood, by that crimson flow. Hallelujah. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and what? invisible. Whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers, all things were created by him and for him. That's an interesting statement now, isn't it? All things were created by him and for him. Hallelujah. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. Do you see that God says, I have to have preeminence? That's why he tells us, seek first the kingdom of God, because God wants to be first in your life. There is a positioning process. We gotta take God and say, I want you in my life first. Most of us, some of us, a lot of us, and before I knew the Lord, I positioned myself first, and then my wife, and then da-da-da-da-da-da. But God says, no. I have to be number one. I have to be first in your life. Then your wife, your family. And some folks go, man, I don't get that. Well, anyway, that's the way God set it up, because God says, I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. And folks, can I tell you that it is a possibility that we could take our loved one and place them before God, and we're placing a stumbling block in our own lives because we're not realizing what we're doing, where God would say, seek me first, and all these things will be added to you. Isn't that cool? Hallelujah. Say, man, why are you being mean to my wife? Why are you being, I'm just placing things in order for you so that you can see, so that you know that God says, I got to be number one. I need to have the preeminence, just what he said. Hallelujah. For it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell. In Jesus, all the fullness should dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things to himself, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Can I tell you that what God has done has encompassed, you know, we might think, well, what does that have to do with the moon and the stars and all of the others? Everything God has done has encompassed everything that he's done. Does that make sense? Everything that God, by the redemption of mankind, he says it right here, whether it be in things in earth, things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled. How many like being reconciled to God? How many like that? That your mind, even your mind now, is reconciled. And that's a cool deal. That's cool. The Bible says he's trying to wash us and cleanse us. And do you know that sometimes we think opposite the way God would have us to think? How many would say, yeah? Yeah. Say that again. How many say, yeah? Yeah. Sometimes we don't think the way God would want us to think. How many know that? When I was down at the Rigoberto's, can I say that? I can't say that, yeah. I was down at Rigoberto's, and I ordered a beef chorizo burro. Do you guys remember that? I ordered a beef chorizo burro, and I didn't know that all their burros down there with chorizo are pork. They don't have beef chorizo burros. She heard beef, so she gives me a beef burro. And Rosie and I are standing there. I mean, we go and sit down at the little table, open them up, and I take a bite, and I go, hey, this isn't chorizo. How many like chorizo? Anybody like chorizo? How about anybody like chorizo? Here we go. Come on. I take a bite, and I look, hey, this isn't chorizo. So I go up there and I tell the girl, I go, hey, I ordered a chorizo burro. She said, no, you ordered a beef burro. Yeah, beef chorizo. Beef burro, that's what you got. Okay. I went back, sat down. I was there with Rosie and eating my burro. Mad, toss it down. Take another bite, toss it down. The Holy Spirit said something to me. He says, now you don't get everything you always want. Now do you, Henry? Oh, boy. Thanks a lot, God. Lessons are learned. How many know that? God likes to speak into your times of when things aren't going right. Hallelujah. Oh, do you know that God loves us? How many of you know that God loves you? Do you know that? Do you know that? You that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, now he's reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you, listen to this, holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Can I tell you that the blood of Jesus is powerful? This is what he says, that the body of his flesh through death to present you. Everybody say me. Point to the person next to you, say you. And the one on the other side, just say, yeah, even you. Give them that look. Yeah, you too. You too. To present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Isn't that good? That's awesome. If you continue in the faith grounded and settled and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. Glory to God. How much more shall the blood of Christ, this is our power verse this morning, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God. Here's what I want to just say to you and say to you and say to you. It will purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. How many of you know we need our consciences purged? How many of you know that sometimes we just allow the old man to take over within our lives, and that's not right? God has died. His son has died for us so that that old man would be put to death and that all things could become new to us. And our life with Christ is a new life, a life full of power and love, and where it touches those that don't know him. But it says here, what offered himself without spot to God, he purged your conscience from dead works. Romans 8, verse 13 and 14 says this, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, he's talking about the same thing, the conscience being cleansed, mortifying the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Proverbs 16:6. I love this scripture. It's the first part of this, but it says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is what? Purged. By mercy and truth. Do you see that it's talking about Jesus right there? Mercy and truth. He's purged. He will purge those iniquities, those things that are within you. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. And the last verse that I've got for you this morning is 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. We had baptism this morning. If anybody in the house, you sense that maybe you might want to get just rebaptized, listen to what these words say on this. It says, the like figure, he's talking about Moses, and the Noah's Ark is where he was talking before this. But he says, in the like figure, whereunto even baptism does also now save us. Does baptism save us? It says yes. Is that right? It does now save us. But look what he says. He says, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but it says this, the answer of a good conscience. Can I tell you this? That is the work of the blood of Jesus Christ. A conscience being cleansed by the word of God. This is by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That life that Jesus received, that raised him from the dead, is now dwelling in you if you've accepted him. And that life is designed to purge your conscience. The blood is purging your conscience. That's why I say stay in the Word of God. It is so powerful to you because it washes and it cleanses. It has a cleansing effect in our lives. And go, oh my goodness. And the kingdom, you'll find that flow, the rush of the kingdom will come through you. And you'll be speaking it to folks and you'll be saying things. You'll be laying hands on the sick and they will recover. You're going to see the things that the word has talked to us about for ages. because we are the redeemed. We are the men and women of God. Let's stand. You guys can stay sitting. Let's stand. Hallelujah. We're going to give a few minutes just in case somebody does want to get rebaptized. If you want to be, if you want to go in the water and just rededicate your life this morning, because I'm telling you, this message this morning is talking to you. It's talking about how God has washed your sins away by the blood of His dear Son, Jesus. So bow your heads with me as we pray. Father, thank you for what you've done. Thank you for the crimson flow. Father, help us to be who you have called us to be, Father. Purge our conscience of dead works. Father God, thank you for mercy and truth. Father, I'm asking that you would speak to your people this morning, Lord. Let your words fall well into good ground this morning, Father. Father, I come against anything that would try to steal a seed, that would try to remove and challenge what's been said this morning for your people. For Lord, I know that you are speaking to your people. I thank you for it, God, and I praise you for it, Lord. And Lord, I'm asking you, Father God, that as we wait on you just for a few more minutes, Father, that you would speak to those that may want to be baptized once again. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen. 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 Hallelujah. You can sit down and we'll just wait just a few minutes and let the worship team minister just a little bit. And I do want to thank you guys.